Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, area reaction to the first 100 days of the current presidential administration, and an Eau Claire woman talks about how her organization has been devastated by the drastic cuts to USAID. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. As we rapidly approach the 100-day mark of Donald Trump's second term as president, we thought it'd be interesting and worthwhile to get local reaction. Larry Jankowski of Eau Claire is very politically active and a strong supporter of the president. I asked him his take on Trump's first 100 days.
Absolutely terrific. The fact he put a stake in the heart of DEI, which is simply repurposed affirmative action, which was illegal since 1964 Civil Rights Act. That there's no way that makes any sense that that be permeating government, schools, to the extent it does. Second, love the idea of the tariffs. We've been paying way too much for goods and services. Even something as simple as Canada has a 270% tariff on milk and cheese products. Think what the our farmers in Wisconsin could do with an entire market that size. That'd be absolutely terrific. Otherwise, undoing a lot of the social engineering is tremendous. Also, I thoroughly love what Dodge is doing. That is terrific. Having an IT background, I know when they discuss what they're finding, I know what they're doing. It's wrong. Even processing USAID payments, there are places in the system to put in Social Security numbers, addresses left blank, processes through. You cannot buy something on Amazon and leave your credit card number off or forget the little secret code or your spelling of your name. Within seconds, it bounces and says, no, that's not right. You got to do it correctly. The fact that that was circumvented is massive.
Okay, sweet.
So far, absolutely terrific.
But not everyone is as fired up about the president's first 100 days as Jankowski. What's your take on the first 100 days of the Trump administration?
Shock and awe, I guess. Just the amount of devastation and destruction that he is doing to our federal government, to our rights, our human rights, as well as our constitutional rights of due process.
Protests that have been taking place for weeks on Wednesday afternoons outside the federal courthouse in Eau Claire. What do you think about the rallies here?
It's been growing in size. I've been here.
376 people that I counted.
376.
Yep,
okay, thank you.
It was the biggest one we've had so far.
Yes, right. It's growing each week. Mm-hmm. So it's increasing in numbers, not decreasing in numbers. And I think it just goes to show how people are just absolutely fed up with what he is doing to our country, to the economy. He isn't doing anything to help your economy. And I can understand his concept of being patient, but this is not what the people asked for. They asked for their egg prices to go down. They did not ask for tariffs to cause prices to go up. And also just the destabilization of all of his crazy economic concepts to what it's doing to our economy.
Finally, Mary Conte, born and raised in Eau Claire, is the dedicated founder of Eau Claire Consulting. She's described as a seasoned and versatile social impact and public health consultant who brings to the table purposeful focus on quality and thoroughness, as well as proven results within complex, time-sensitive, and competitive contexts. Mary has a deeply rooted passion for helping communities and individuals overcome obstacles and lead healthy, fulfilled lives. Several years ago, she started Eau Claire Consulting, a global public health firm with small-town roots and values. They seek to help organizations bring lasting improvements to the well-being of families and communities around the world, even up to and including the other side of the world, as in Africa. What was Mary's response when she found out very early in the Trump administration that so much funding that helps her and other organizations through USAID was being drastically cut?
It was really shocking.
Because all of us who work in global health recognize and have supported for years and decades that global health has never been a partisan issue, that we have had broad support across across all administrations. The implementation of it may take different forms, but as I said earlier, as implementing partners, we roll up our sleeves to figure out the best way always to do things, to overcome the challenges, and to do those in a way that is auditable both on the programmatic as well as on the financial and contractual side, with very strict rules about following each of those elements. So there's very strict rules about work planning and reporting, that if at any point anyone felt that things were anything more than highly catalytic, innovative, and efficient, those would need to be reported both through your contracting officer or your agreement officer, and periodically those were also reported to Congress. So and audits were conducted. I think more than 60 audits, official audits, were conducted of USAID projects with passing audits. However, other departments, such as the Department of Defense, have not passed audits. So the fact that one of the smallest, tiniest agencies of the government would be singled out was shocking, and there were questions about why that might be. Why start with the smallest? Is it because the constituents of U.S. foreign assistance through global health are poor Africans who cannot come and speak for themselves? Was that potentially a reason? We're not really sure, but it was initially quite shocking, and we felt that there would be a chance to show this work, to show the highly rigorous nature of the work both on the programmatic side as well as the financial and the contracting side. However, that didn't happen. Within a few days of the pause being announced, it was very clear that actually no review was done of any project. I am not aware of any project that actually had a review of any programmatic or financial elements. And instead, a stop work order was put in place, which meant that medicines were locked, food was locked, life-saving HIV antiretrovirals were locked for, you know, children, pregnant women who were much more likely to be giving birth to HIV-infected babies, including malaria medicines, both for simple malaria as well as severe malaria, children coming in convulsing. People were not allowed to give the medicine that was already on the shelf from one day to the next. This was highly destabilizing for governments who didn't have any time to plan, do any kind of contingency planning to plan for alternative ways to protect their populations. So yeah, it was incredibly shocking, and then it was immediately destabilizing, leading to loss of life. Essentially from one day to the next. Obviously, if medicines and preventive measures are not in place, obviously people will be losing their lives very quickly with highly infectious diseases. And then on a personal level, it's really demoralizing. I mean, I've devoted my life to this. It's you know, I am a person with strong faith, and I want to follow my faith journey. And this is part of it, to follow the calling to be the hands and feet in whatever humble and simple way that I can contribute, and to be told from national news reports that there's concerns that we are criminals is, it's almost laughable. But at the same time, for a brief period, it's hard not to be demoralized by that. This is what I've dedicated my whole life to doing. And it's quite difficult, actually, to be able to do this work. It's such a privilege to be able to do this work. And whatever happens, I will be grateful that I had 25 years being able to do this, because it's truly special work to be able to do it. And in order then to be able to kind of break into the sector, you have to do years of volunteer work and study and, you know, really sort of pay your dues in order to be able to get to do what we do.
Mary Conte has a proven track record of working in challenging initiatives across Africa and Asia to deliver problem-solving and people-focused programs on malaria, HIV, child survival, family planning, behavior change, and WASH, which is water, sanitation, and hygiene. After spending earlier years in Madagascar, in 2020, Mary Conte launched Eau Claire Consulting, founded in the belief that the world would be a better place if talented social impact and public health experts could easily collaborate with trusted colleagues to secure timely and affordable technical, programmatic, and business development advice. Grounded in Midwestern Wisconsin values of integrity, relatability, and the drive to succeed, whatever the obstacles were, Eau Claire Consulting has had as many as 6 new clients overcome their most pressing constraints, ensure funding for their most promising and effective interventions, and deliver effective and high-quality program results. In fact, selected wins in malaria, HIV, and more, as well as water, sanitation, and hygiene interventions have been highlighted in the last 5 years. I asked Mary Conte if she's gotten any word about some funds being restored to programs, and also, what now for Eau Claire Consulting?
There has now been several different lists of projects which have been terminated or maintained. However, there's ongoing uncertainty and continuous updates of those projects. To the extent that I have information, I think there were around 1/6 of the projects maybe that were slated for some form of reinstatement or continuation. It's unclear the level to which the previous projects would be reinstated. In other words, would all vector control tools be available at the same level that they previously were in all countries, as well as will all case management medicines and operational costs be there? Will mosquito nets be available but not the operational cost to deliver them? I think there's a lot of question marks around what will be available to the extent that I have information about this. I've also heard about projects that were reinstated but then re-terminated. So there's also a lot of instability. If you can imagine, people with young families trying to make determinations about what they should do from a family standpoint, colleagues who manage multiple subrecipient partners, not sure what to tell small faith-based and other organizations what their future may hold because the main contract is in question, as well as, you know, hundreds of staff who are unsure still after 90 days what's happening. I'm hopeful that things can be reinstated, but it's still, as yet to my knowledge, quite unclear. What that means for Eau Claire Consulting is that, yeah, I'm kind of staring down a cliff at the end of May, beginning of June. I'm hopeful that I will be able to continue to work with clients through other non-U.S. Sources of funding, perhaps pivoting to other areas, writing proposals for in areas of agriculture, energy, education, other sectors. But as of yet, I'm not exactly sure what will happen.
I asked Eau Claire native Mary Conte of Eau Claire Consulting what she would say to those who say, but I believe the claims that there was a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse in the USAID funding.
I would just say, you know, I would approach it from a viewpoint of love. Christ asks us to love each other, and that's what I want to try and do, and that's what I've tried to do through my career. So let's take it away from those names on the table, and let's think about the African child. and the African family, who are the people whom I've tried to serve as diligently as I can for the last 25 years. And as a daughter and now mom in the Chippewa Valley, I hold our values dear. I grew up on a farm. I learned about hard work from a very young age and approaching everything I do with integrity, with frugality. I know that everything that I've approached through my 25 years of service in global health was very much individually supporting those values that we all hold dear in this area, and that I have had the opportunity to work with incredibly dedicated people who sacrifice a great deal. I know many people who have, many women who have lost pregnancies because, including myself, doing this kind of work because we've been so dedicated to the travel and the support and working around the clock to make sure that things work and to make sure that they are efficient. That I would hope that from a personal level and from a standpoint of being part of one church, that we would hear each other out and really seek to really understand what was happening. And for anyone, I know also that no matter what political views each of us hold or may not hold or choose to focus on or not focus on, I know that people in the Chippewa Valley and in our churches have a very strong faith and dedication to helping and supporting poor and vulnerable people. So I think I would like us all to keep the focus on that and to think about the ways in which we can best support that young child who may well right now be suffering greatly because of the cuts.
Mary Conte of Eau Claire, the founder of Eau Claire Consulting, practical solutions for positive change. You can learn more at eauclaireconsulting.co. That's eauclaireconsulting.co. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening to this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.